I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, as military deployments are extended, the strain on military spouses is also increased. Military spouses are taking care of the home front, managing households, raising children, and managing stressed family budgets. But are they getting the support that they need? Employment remains a major challenge for military spouses. Food insecurity is a problem for many. Housing presents another documented hardship. Recently, President Trump signed an executive order creating the President's Military Spouse Commission to recommend improvements in these areas. So what can be done to support the spouses who support the service members? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Military spouses are often called the backbone of America's armed forces, but that service can come at a steep personal cost. Frequent moves can disrupt careers, education, and child care. Deployments can leave spouses managing households alone, while prolonged separations contribute to stress, anxiety, and loneliness, while new assignments may mean rebuilding a new support network from scratch. How can we better support the spouses who support our service members? We're joined by Veronice Castillo, the founder of the Military Spouse Advocacy Network. And Veronice, welcome to The Source.
Hey, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. And also with us is Robin Carter. She is the Senior Director of Regional Development at Operation Homefront. And Robin, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much.
And we encourage our listeners to give us a call if you're a military spouse, military parent, if you're concerned about what's happening with military spouses. We want to hear from you, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Robin Carter, what do you, first off the bat, what do you want people to know outside of this community of military spouses? What do we need to know? What are we ignorant about?
Probably what comes to mind is if you aren't seeing the military service member in their uniform, you might not think that they are in your community, but they are all around you, living all across the state, and they are dealing with some of the same hardships that all of our families are dealing with, but they have a little extra when you take into consideration frequent deployments, when you take into consideration that separation and potentially becoming a single parent for a short period of time. There are just a lot of things that make things a bit more of a struggle. And just having that visibility will allow you to figure out in what ways you could support the families that are in the communities where you also live and work.
And providing stable support for military spouses, how does that help our armed services?
When the family is stable, the military member can focus on the mission. You know, you think about it, you know, when you're at work, if you're worrying about family members, you're not going to be as focused. So if they know that when they're deployed, when they're training, when they're doing anything, that their family is safe and secure and everything is functioning, then they can focus on the mission. And that's really one of the big things that we focus on at Operation Homefront is the entire family. You know, that includes the active duty service member and the veteran. We want to be there for the entire family so that we can have that strength across all those areas.
Veronice Castillo, you founded Military Spouse Advocacy Network. How did that happen?
Yes, I utilized my own experience as this is what I wanted to do. Becoming a brand new military spouse, it was a completely different lifestyle than what I was used to. Many times you hear that you knew what you get yourself into, but that is not true. It's not until you are dealing with a lifestyle that is so different and unique that you start experiencing so many different things. And mine was isolation. And even until now, 27 years later, when I became a brand new military spouse, we're still seeing military spouses dealing with isolation. Because they are afraid to ask for help, because they don't know where to go, they don't know where to find support. And at that moment, I wish I had a mentor. I wish I had a place where to go and ask for assistance. And that's when MSAN was born, because I became that mentor that I wish I had and became that hub of resources that I wish I had at that moment to fight that isolation and so many different feelings that I had that I just wanted to go back home.
Veronese, what do you hear from military spouses about just running the household issues that they have to deal with?
You know, we hear from everything. We hear from military spouses who stay at home and are taking care of their families and supporting their spouse throughout their military journey from the very beginning. The challenge every time that we move, that we change jurisdictions, it is a transition. A lot of the times we assume the transition is only at the end when you leave the military life into becoming a civilian once again, but we don't. Families and military kids, we transition every time we move. We leave everything behind and we have to start all over again. So we hear from spouses who are taking care of their families, taking care of supporting the mission, to those military spouses who work and they have to leave their careers behind every time that we move, because sometimes it's not that easy to take it with us and make it portable. For those spouses that want to continue their journey, but they are a place where they're not able to do that. So we hear from the having to navigate another move to mental health, to career and employment, financial readiness, to all the things that they make the lifestyle sometimes challenging.
Robin Carter, if a person becomes a military spouse, they don't come from a military background, I imagine there's a huge culture shock. Is there a way to make that easier?
No, there absolutely is. And I will say within the military environment, other spouses will get together. You know, you have spouses clubs, you have groups. If you have children, you get together around those spaces. And exactly that community that you were just talking about, Berenice, you know, is so very important to ensuring the stability. And so once you get into the environment and you see, you know, what the deployments look like, you need that network. You need to have your fellow spouses. You need to be involved with the groups that are on the military bases or in the community. And that doesn't always exist. If you are in the Guard, National Guard or Reserves, and you're living in a rural area, you may not have that opportunity. And so similar to resources to support the spouses, we try to provide places where the families can come together so that they can work on that isolation. They can get to know their communities, get to know the people who want to show their gratitude and really feel more welcome when they're transitioning and becoming a veteran. And then when they're in, again, the active duty service, to ensure that they know who's around them to provide support.
But Robin, just learning all those acronyms, I mean, that's a job in and of itself.
It is. They should issue you a book to get them down.
Then why don't they? You know, some housing acronyms, other kind of acronyms, and they everyone's talking in these things. And if you don't know what they mean, you're going to be lost.
No, absolutely. And again, it just speaks to what sort of togetherness that military community provides when you become a part of it. And they absolutely, other spouses will show you the way, will teach you the terminology. And then when you transition out, often the gap is that civilian community where you are now moving. They don't know that terminology. They don't understand the, you know, tight network that you had. And that can lead to that isolation, or it can lead to the feelings that you're not a part of your community. And so many nonprofit organizations supporting the military out there, you know, collaborate and work together to ensure we can sort of fill the gaps in each other's programs to make sure that our families stay strong.
All right, so we're coming up on a break here. Our phone line's 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We want to hear from you if you're a military spouse, if you have a question about how we can help support military spouses, because they're the ones that are supporting our service members. Give us a call. Jennifer, we're going to get you on the air as soon as we come back from this one-minute break. And we're talking about military spouses. Frequently, they are called the backbone of America's armed forces. By keeping the home front secure, they can allow our service members to do their jobs overseas, fighting the war without having to worry about what's happening back home. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the stress, the strain put on military spouses. They support our service members. You can call in at 833-877-8255. Let's go to Jennifer on the phones. And Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. There's a wonderful organization for families and spouses of military that take their lives. And it's called AllianceOfHope.org. Okay. The VA sponsors it, and it's been a great help to me.
Do you want to tell us more about what you've been going through, Jennifer?
My husband was a veteran that took his life last year. And it's an online resource to help us.
Jennifer, thank you for calling in. And tell me again the organization that you want to highlight.
It's Alliance, A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E, of hope.org.
Well, Jennifer, thank
and
you.
And it has a blog that you can read anytime, 24/7.
Thank you for calling in, Jennifer. You raised an important point here. Thank you very much. Just yesterday, we had Dr. Alan Peterson on the air talking about breakthroughs in treatment for PTSD, and also how they bring in spouses with military veterans to help deal with those issues in their treatment. So, Robin Carter, do you want to talk about this? Robin Carter is the Senior Director of Regional Development at Operation Homefront.
Yes, and that is, I am so sorry for your loss, and that is an absolute dreadful thing. I think all of us within the military and veteran support community have definitely come across, you know, loss of life, whether it be in service to our country or unfortunately in suicide. And there are absolutely fabulous organizations out there. One of the things at Operation Homefront that we try to do in supporting, you know, financial, emotional, and social well-being is to sort of consider that togetherness, that fellowship that could allow someone to reach out for help. Or if the opportunity, the consideration of suicide is due to stress factors, in what way could we support with financial assistance, with housing assistance or whatnot? So in no way is that a definite solving of the problem, but I find that when we can all be together in a space, when we can share resources, when a family is willing to step up and say that there's a struggle, you know, we can work together collaboratively to support some of these problems. And so, I definitely will look up that organization and ensure that we can share each other's resources and be advocates. And I hope that at Operation Homefront, we can support our spouses when that happens and that we can support the service members in stressful situations like that.
Veronese Castillo, the founder of Military Spouse Advocacy Network. Did you want to add to that?
Yes, thank you. Jennifer, I am also very, very sorry for your loss. And I really hope that you're also reaching out for support. Please know that you will continue and will always be a military spouse. And we are here to support you on anything that you can think. I don't want you to be going through this on your own and feeling any kind of isolation. You still have a community. And I agree with Robin. This is a great highlight to this nonprofit that provided Jennifer support for us to look into and see what is it that we can do together. But Jennifer highlights one of the things that we deal with in the military, and sometimes the feeling of having the loss of a loved one or even your community or anything, and when you don't have the support, can be even more difficult and challenging than what it should be. Something that you said at the beginning of the show is that military families, the military spouse is known for being the backbone of the military, and it's very true. But that comes with great responsibility, because sometimes we take that to the heart to make sure that everything and everyone is taken care of. And sometimes we don't take care of ourselves. And it's something that we continue to advocate for military spouses, that kind of like when you're on the plane, before you can help the one right next to you with their mask, you have to put it on first. We got to make sure the military spouses are taking care of themselves before they can take care of their families, the mission, our communities, because that is something that we're also known for. We become advocates, we fight for our neighbors, we become the voice of fellow military spouses, and we're good at making change in our communities. And sometimes that community is not just military spouses, that is also our neighbors, our civilian neighbors, and the kids that go to the same school and the same church. So we're always part of our community. And when it comes to advocating and fighting for someone, we take things very seriously.
Let's hear from another caller. We have Sean, and the number is 833-877-8255. And Sean, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you, David, for taking my call. And I love what the last caller just said. I wanted to try a positive note on this whole thing, that sometimes these military spouses or families are... They're in the Aleutians, in the Alaska, and they get to get their family there for 6 days, or they're deployed in Fort Lauderdale and their families go there. Let's try to promote family jointing where these service people are. And let them exploit the beauty of the land where they are deployed, and hopefully they can make it a positive thing. Thank you, David, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Sean, for that call. Robin Carter, is there are positives from these deployments?
There absolutely can be. I think, you know, and I appreciate, Sean, you mentioning the positive. You know, we don't want to spend, you know, our entire conversation just about, oh, all of these terrible things. There are positives. The resiliency that our spouses have and where it takes them in their lives and career and how they pass that down to their children. The amazing military children and what they're doing when they are moving all around the world and creating community for themselves and creating businesses and things like that. We at Operation Homefront celebrate them every May during Month of the Military Child. And I give a huge shout out to all of our military spouses and military families together who have made those families. And so there are obviously opportunities if you are being moved all around the world to take advantage of beautiful scenery. But it does, of course, take a toll when your service member is not there, and maybe your activities in the community are more of a single parent situation. The memories being made don't include the military service member, you know, in those cases. So that can be a struggle. So absolutely, there are positives. You know, I've known many military spouses. I've worked with them directly in different areas, and just love their positive attitude and resiliency in that space. But I don't want to not shine a light on what some of the challenges are that might not be seen because our military service members and their families are so resilient. We don't want to think it's the absence of strain. You know, they're definitely going to make things work, but often long before somebody realizes what they had to sacrifice to do it. And so I think that's the importance of this call, to understand some of those sacrifices our military spouses are making to keep the family together.
So we want to focus that there are ways, things that can be done to take some of the stress and strain off these families. Recently, the American Legion did assessments of conditions at Joint Base San Antonio, Fort Sam Houston. This was earlier in the year. The Legion's Base Assessment and Service Member Experience Program, they found that there were some significant problems, food insecurity among some members, service members and their families, aging infrastructure that needs upgrades, staffing shortages, problems with military housing policies. These are things that can be addressed and improved and made conditions better for these families. So, Robin, can I get your reaction to that?
No, that's an unfortunate truth. And within food insecurity specifically, I mean, in the news right now for all of us is the high cost of all things at the grocery store. Our active duty military service members, 28% of them are experiencing that low food insecurity, and 38% do the just getting by. And I think sometimes people can think, what does that mean? You have an empty refrigerator, you have an empty pantry. And I think what it means is they're making choices. Do I get groceries? Do I pay this bill? Does my child not get to join the soccer team or whatever? They're making different choices because of that food insecurity. And so there are some absolutely fantastic partners, you know, in the San Antonio area and around Texas who are joining forces to, you know, whether it be food banks, through our program at Operation Homefront, you know, giving out grocery gift cards through our critical financial assistance, realizing that that's one piece, and that, you know, together we can help in that short term, but then we want to connect them to their community. We want to make sure that they, you know, have all of these other areas for those chapters that they're going through and ensure that stability. But it is an unfortunate data point, and I appreciate the American Legion for doing that, because it's allowing us all to realize the problem and to see how we can work together to provide a solution.
Right, and I don't like the idea that we have the families of service members who are having to go to food banks. And that shouldn't be happening. They should be taken care of. So Veronese Castillo, what can you tell us about this from your experience?
Yes, you know, we are, the stories that we hear focus a lot of the times it can be from not finding, having the resources, something that I mentioned earlier, the importance of having a community. Having a community provides that stability and foundation of you knowing what are your benefits, the resources available to you and your families. And a lot of the times, every time that we lose a community, when we don't have a stable foundation, we see a lot of symptoms. And that is food insecurity, the lack of career and employment opportunities, some mental health problems, because we are missing, or we don't have a strong foundation. We feel, I mean, everybody in the country is dealing with different challenges. And a lot of the times when we have to move a family, we have to move up to an area where there's limited housing. And when they have to live off base, a lot of the times the rents of the mortgages are extremely high. When a military family needs a place where to live, so they end up finding a place where they have to have a lot of expenses out of their pocket in order to make that happen. And that's when we're seeing families getting into financial situations where they're, like Robin said earlier, now do they pay their rent? Do they pay a bill? Do they pay for food? And having to live off base with such a high rents and mortgages and everything does not help the situation of the military family. So there's only so much that an installation can do to bring families to live there. But this is when we look into, this is when we need to bring additional resources, and those nonprofits out there doing a wonderful job supporting those families. In the meantime, where policy and all other things get aligned into supporting the bigger problem that it is, why do we have high rents and why do we have high mortgages and all of those things, we got to focus on the actual local problem. And that is, how do we make sure that a family is eating and having a meal and not having to worry about paying a bill or not? So the problem comes also within that community. When our military families know that there's support and they know where to go, they are able to navigate the lifestyle in a much better way. But when they move every time and the community is not as aware of the challenges of a community, a military community, or the strengths of a military community, and there's isolation and there's no support, then you see those symptoms that I talked about earlier to be even more frequent and even louder than in other places. Like Military City, USA is wonderful at taking care of families, but not every little city throughout the United States is like Military City, USA.
We're taking another break. We do want to hear from our listeners. Are you a military spouse? Our military parent, tell us about what you're experiencing, what you've seen. What can we do better to support the spouses who support our service members? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after this break.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. Last month, President Trump signed an executive order creating the President's Military Spouse Commission to recommend improvements in housing, employment, health care, child care, and education for military families. The initiative addresses longstanding problems that can undermine family stability and military readiness and retention. Typically, it's the First Lady's role to try to be an advocate for military spouses. However, this go-around, First Lady Melania Trump will not be participating in this, but we do have this new commission looking at this. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. Veronese Castillo, founder of Military Spouse Advocacy Network. We have multi-generational people in the military. But there are some very young people who are military spouses in their early 20s, maybe even younger than that. And do you think that the older people who are up in the military ranks understand what the younger generations are going through?
You know, thank you for asking that question, because the longer that you're in the military, the higher the rank, or the more that you end up forgetting your day one when you join the military, especially for your family. And the younger generation of the military does not look like even when I married my husband 27 years ago. So one of my duties when I talk to military leaders is remind them of the difference now. I have the opportunity to go to basic training here in San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base, to meet those brand new military spouses joining the new community. And I'm seeing 18, 19, 20-year-old young spouses, sometimes with a kid. And this is the new face of the military. It's not like once upon a time that most of them were single and they were young, and now they're joining the military with dependents, with family members, with a spouse, with a kid, sometimes right out of high school, and they're married. And we have to consider that we are seeing people leaving their homes for the very first time to actually come and join the military. I met someone a few years back, and she was a 17-year-old, almost brand new spouse. And when I asked her how she was doing, if she was excited, if what was the plan now that she was about to become a spouse, and she started crying. And she's like, I don't even know. She said, I'm 17 years old. I'm 7 months pregnant. I'm getting married tomorrow. I'm going back home to finish high school online. And then a few months, I'm moving with my spouse and probably with a baby. I have never left my home before. She was about to graduate high school. So we cannot forget, and we cannot overlook the fact that this new face of the military, it is completely different. And if we do not adapt to those changes, then we are going to start losing them. And it's going to be even harder to recruit or retain military families, because we are not making the changes that we need to in order to for them to feel supported and heard and seen, because we expect them to change to the way that it used to be before, which is no longer relatable to the younger generation. So we have to make those changes.
Robin Carter, do you want to add to that, the generational differences?
Well, definitely. I think at one point there were studies out there that talked about your older military spouses, and maybe they wouldn't share that younger people should join the military. I think you're seeing a lot of that change when we've had these initiatives that are improving housing, improving educational opportunities, and really making the military experience one that you're going to leave with a lot of skills and resources, you know, in that resiliency. So while the struggle is there, it is the change of this next generation that is, you know, pushing for it, that is becoming advocates, that are joining groups. And I think that's exactly what we need moving forward, is that they, you know that they can band together, partner with nonprofit organizations in their communities to make a difference. And exactly as you said at the break earlier, bring the local civilian community in there. One of the gaps that was touched on related to unemployment is that there is a high percentage, you know, I want to say it's 23% unemployment among military spouses, but now you need a dual income for everyone to survive in this current economy. So the ability for the civilian sector to know the military community and to understand the skills they bring will open more doors, hopefully, for job opportunities, apprenticeships, as government programs might need to, you know, go away for a little bit due to budget cuts, which is unfortunate. But the civilian community can often fill those gaps because they're looking for leaders. And our military spouses, our military service members are leaders. So when they transition out, when they have the support of nonprofit organizations, they really can be an asset to the workforce and an asset to the communities that they move into.
Veronese Castillo, we're seeing a clash between two things. In the Trump administration, we have the immigration crackdown, also with hopefully with support for military spouses. But unfortunately, the Associated Press investigation has found at least 52 military spouses and parents of active duty personnel have been detained by ICE. Some of them have been deported. One of them here in San Antonio, Maria Rico Rocha, she was detained last week while attending a green card interview, and she was put in the Dilley Detention Center. So we're seeing these parents and spouses of military individuals. You're from Mexico. You immigrated from Mexico when you were at 16. What are your thoughts about what's happening here?
You know, it's very heartbreaking to see my fellow military spouses having to be detained or deported. I don't know the individual circumstances or the situation, but I'll tell you that in my personal experience as an immigrant, when I was given the opportunity to come to the United States to have a better life, I took advantage of that opportunity to do the best that I could and become the best citizen that I could and give back. And here I am giving them in the best way that I can, and that is by supporting the military community and be able to do something for them and make sure that they have the support that they need. So it is heartbreaking to see those situations, because most of us immigrants want to come here to find a better life and have an opportunity to give back. And I guarantee you that if we give those people the opportunity to do something, they will take advantage of that opportunity and do something good. So I hope that those nonprofits and the support that is out there for those that are being detained or deported, especially, I hope that I get to see more for our military families and their spouses, because now we have to focus on the kind of stress that now the active duty member, the family members are feeling when the spouse who is the backbone, taking care of the families, what they are supporting the active duty member to do the mission, and the family members, the spouse is gone. So now we have probably kids involved, and now the active duty member cannot focus as much on the mission. And that is, once again, that affects the national security, retention, and recruitment of our military, if this is the message that we're sending. So I really hope that the stories and these military spouses who are dealing with this can be seen more of what is happening and how it affects not just them as a family and within the community, within the cities, but also as the bigger mission that we have, which is protect this country.
Robin Carter, if you could speak to some higher ups at the Pentagon or Congress, asking them to make some changes to support military spouses, what would they be?
Oh, that is a challenging question. I think honestly, it would be to listen. We have definitely talked throughout this that the civilian community around the nation probably doesn't understand what the military family goes through, and especially the additional burdens that can fall on a military spouse during lengthy deployments. And so allow our military spouses a seat at the table, allow them to have their voices shared, and they absolutely are going to produce some solutions. And so I would just say, let's listen to each other.
But we need some practical solutions. I mean, more money would be helpful, I guess. Put more money in the pockets of the enlisted and everyone else in the military. Find, you know, so they don't have to rely on food pantries. Do something about the housing situation. Child care would be, I hear that's an incredible burden on families. You know, there's a lot that can be done. Don't you think?
Oh, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, on the governmental side, they are absolutely working on things like that. But for me, in the space that I'm in with Operation Homefront and how we partner with other companies that reach out to us, how can I help you? There is, I don't want to say there's money out there as in it's just laying around, but there are.
Well, they have money for everything. You know, there's money. Obviously, look, my concern is when we put stress and strain on structures, it can only take so much. And I don't want to ask so much of military spouses. You know, I want our, you know, military to be strong, and we have to look at every facet of it in order to and support it, don't we? In order that we have the best military in the world to protect the United States and our interests.
We absolutely do. And I think what has been shared here, what, you know, Veronese said before about the strength of our military is there with the strength of our family. So now you make an excellent point that they don't need to be, you know, brushed aside as
I mean, we can't keep taking and taking and taking. We have to be giving. And you guys are helping each other out. Y'all are phenomenal individuals. And you certainly have the best interest at heart, but the entire system needs to be supporting our military spouses, because what you're doing is just absolutely incredible and more than we could ever ask. And I appreciate everything that you do and all the military spouses, what y'all do. So thank y'all so much.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely love what I do for our military families and spouses.
Veronese Castillo, thank you so much for what you do in helping other military spouses find voice, giving them mentors, giving them direction. Thank you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.